Welcome to Life by Design. On this podcast, we explore ideas on self-improvement and living with intention, amongst other things. My name is Otto Abasi-Basi, and I am honored to be your host. In my early teens, I became obsessed with personal development as a path to growth, success, and happiness. Today, I am a full-stack creative and entrepreneur, using my skills to help people and businesses live up to their potential. And my passion for self-development is still going strong, albeit more nuanced. And now I share what I learned as I build a life by design. If there was an overarching theme to all that I do, it would be the art of being, the act of creating, and the space in between. I have always been interested in how we live, how we create, and how those two things interact with and inform each other. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and thank you for listening. Well, hello there, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the Wednesday Ramble Show. I still, at some point, should come up with a new name for that. But yeah, welcome to the show. In this episode, we basically go over content for the week. I talk about the blog post I wrote this week, as well as the last podcast that I did this week. And that's essentially it. If you've been here before, welcome to the show. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't, if this is your first time, welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Before I get into it, I wanted to say sorry for not being available last week. I skipped a week with content and stuff. Didn't put up any blog posts, didn't put up any podcast or anything, really. The weekend before, I got to hang out and see friends of mine that I haven't, well, a friend of mine and his friends that I haven't seen in like 17 years, and it was a huge thing. It was a lot of fun and, great change of pace for me, and just all around good times. So that kind of threw my week off, and decided I'd skip and get back to it now. So here we are, and yes, I missed you. Thanks for missing me. This has proven to be, doing this, making this content, because I do this on Sundays before the week starts, has proven to be maybe the most important thing I can do in a week. And it does a lot for me, and I hope it gives something to you as far as the content and the ideas that we're putting out here. So without further ado, let's get into it. And we'll be talking about cultivating burning desire, and we'll be talking about work and the negative returns curve. So first, let's talk about burning desire. If you're trying to achieve anything, if you're trying to do anything in your life, if you're trying to pursue a goal or get something, which most of us would be, one thing that would help is having burning desire, because everything starts with desire. And that motivation is what pulls you forward. I've got this quote that I came up with that said, you don't need a candle when you're on fire, and you don't need motivation when you have burning desire. And the entire idea around that is to say that I know when you come into like the personal development self-help space for the first time, you always think about motivation, which is why you have the cliche statement, motivational speaker, right? Because here's someone who's gonna come in, who's gonna rile you up, who's gonna motivate you, tell you a bunch of great stories, let you know, that you can do it, and rah, rah, you're special, all that good stuff. And that's motivation. And often what happens is, because it's coming from the outside, right? You get motivated, you get pumped up for a bit, but then eventually you fall back to your base level, right? You fall back to what you do normally, your habits, your way of being, and you end up, you know, just going back to normal. So it you end up stuck in that cycle. You go get pumped up, you go back home, you crash, then you go to something else, get pumped up again. We see the same thing even with like Christianity or Christians or any religion, I suppose, right? You go to church, get pumped up, and probably live the rest of your life however you live it, and then come back to church to get pumped up. But what we are looking for is more of a lifestyle, a perpetual state of, not even state of, but something to pull from to actually drive you forward. The big thing that stops us from getting what we want is inertia, right? We are here, point A, we want to be at point B, but point B determines like, or requires a new level of being and a new way of doing stuff. And if you've lived in your status quo for so long, right? If you've been in the state you've been in for so long, it's very hard to jump and break out of that cycle and start doing something new. If you have been chilling and doing nothing for a while, it's going to be quite difficult to get to a space where you are working and being productive again. You know, same thing in reverse. You know, inertia, whatever you're doing, it's easier to keep doing that thing than it is to change it. Change is scary, change is difficult, change is, makes us nervous. It's all these different things. And other than like a harsh wake-up call, like, or near-death experience, like something that really happens to shake you to your foundations, to give you the impetus to move, it is just too easy to kind of like stay where you are. But, you know, if you want to get on the move, if you want to make something of yourself, if you want to change your life, you have to cultivate burning desire, right? You have to like really, really, really want it. And when you really, really want something, you know what that's like, right? You come awake, you come alive, your eyes are open, your senses are heightened, you are looking at every opportunity or open door to exploit to get the thing that you want when you really, really want it. You'll do whatever it takes. And that is burning desire. And that is something that we can actually cultivate. You might think that, oh, I don't really want anything. Nothing really excites me, you know. But it's just because you haven't given any of your desires or any of your, you know, goals, like the necessary energy to make it compelling and interesting to you, to make it move from a nice to have to a must have, right? And how do you do that? How do you get there? Like, think about it. When was the last time you were really, really obsessed with something? When was the last time, like, you were always thinking about something because it was all you wanted? Like, you daydreamt about it all the time. You went to bed and you saw it in your dreams. You saw it everywhere. Like, you were just so eager to get into it. When was the last time you felt that way? Like, I felt that way recently because I've been doing, like, a bunch of revamp at my place. Just going room by room and kind of just upgrading and, you know, making things better, making things prettier, making things just more elegant or smooth or whatever. And it's become a bit of an obsession of mine. I can spend hours just watching videos of people, you know, renovating their spaces and getting ideas and seeing what they do and looking at pictures and on Pinterest, on the internet. And you know, it is my present obsession and it literally can keep me awake sometimes, right? But that's kind of like a small example of it. But the idea is that whatever you want, right? Whatever it is that you're trying to do, you have to like really want it. You have to really cultivate that burning desire. Because if you're 100% committed to something, you would do whatever it takes. We talked about paying the cost 2 weeks ago, right? If you have burning desire, you will pay whatever that cost is. You will do whatever it takes to move yourself from point A to point B, right? Because in this journey, right, getting what you want, in the journey of, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do in your life, there will be obstacles. Whatever project you come up with, whatever career you're in, nothing's ever completely smooth sailing. There will be problems, there will be issues, and it's up to you to like be able to meet those challenges, right? To be able to keep going even when you're tired and it's been a long day, it's been a long week, and your body is drained, your mind is tired, your back aches, you know, it's only burning desire that will keep you in the game to get the work done, that will keep you in the game to do whatever it takes to get what you want. So how do we like cultivate that burning desire? How do we come to life, so to speak, the same way we cultivate anything, you know, by giving it attention, by feeding it. And you know, I think too often, right, dreams are nice to have for most people. We are maybe sometimes too distracted with what's happening right now in our lives, the issues, the drama, you know, the people, the problems, you know, the pain, the trauma, you know, all sorts of things. We get distracted by those things, and it is much harder to like pay attention to what you want and actually dream and hope and, you know, elaborate that in your mind But it is something we actively have to do. If you want to cultivate this burning desire, you have to give your dreams and your desires attention. And some ways to do that are like writing it down. So I was talking to a friend about this during the week. Like, there's something so magical about just writing down your goals. Because even if you just wrote it down once or twice and you never really paid attention to that piece of paper, you just put it away, you can come back to it a year from now and see that somehow, some way, you've actually moved towards those goals. There's something about writing what you want down. It's almost like a spell. It puts it deep in your mind. It becomes that subconscious thing guiding you, you know, over time. So if you don't write your goals down on what you want to do, by all means, please do that today. You know, think about what you want and write it down in a little journal, in the book somewhere. Write down what you want and put it down. Another thing you can do, like a deeper level of writing it down, is making a vision board. So a lot of people swear by this, you can make an actual board or cardboard paper or something. And the idea is to collect images of things that speak to what you want. They could either speak to the mood or the idea, or they could be literally pictures of what you want, you know, a picture of a car, a couch, or whatever it is you're trying to get. And you just keep that nearby, you keep that somewhere you can see it. So those images keep reinforcing themselves in your brain. You keep getting reminded, you keep attracting and pulling those things closer to you. And they keep you honest and making sure that you're moving and doing things towards getting those things, because you're always, like, you know, reminded of them. The other thing to do is to, like, literally visualize and actively imagine those things. And you want to, this is like a technique in the law of attraction, the idea of visualizing yourself in the place, in the thing you want to be, like every detail of it, you know, smell, touch, taste, emotion. You want to really feel that. It's almost like rewiring your brain to experience it. It makes it easier for you to navigate into those situations where those things actually become true. It's a very powerful, and it's a bit esoteric, but it is very important. The way I like to think about it is that it helps prime your brain to do the kinds of things you need to do to get there. And by making the end goal visible and vivid, it becomes easier for our minds to start to connect the dots to get there. And I think about, like, meditating on what you want embeds it even deeper. A lot of times you don't get what you want because they are vague, right? And if you have vague desires, you get vague results, right? But if you have very clear desires, then you know when you've gotten it or not, and it's much, much easier to get the thing that you're clear about. And the last idea, the last tip would be to immerse yourself in it, like, as much as possible. To always remind yourself about the things you want and the things that you are doing. So, like, when I get into a thing, like I said, like now, into, like, interior decor and space design and all that stuff, I can't stop. I'm picking up magazines for inspiration. I'm looking at videos. I'm looking at images. You know, I'm approaching the entire world with a different eye. You know, I was in an Uber earlier, and folded in the back seat was a little, it was the inserts that go into newspapers with specials for a store where I actually just bought a couch from. And I picked it up, and for the whole ride, I was just looking at all the specials and the little things that they had. I wasn't going to get anything from there, but I'm just so primed to looking at, like, furniture and gear and all those things. And, you know, that's the state I'm in, and I'm completely immersed in it. I may have mentioned in another show that, you know, there was a section, a time of my life where I was really committed to this whole self-help thing, personal development thing. And for, like, a couple of months, maybe a year and a half, I immersed myself completely in the content. So on my way to meetings, you know, in waiting rooms, cooking, cleaning, at the gym, every blank space of mine was filled with either reading something or listening to someone or whatever. So I completely believe in, like, full immersion, going balls to the wall with the thing you want to do. So look at whatever your desire is and, you know, immerse yourself in it, meditate on it, write it down, make a vision board. Just feed the idea of this thing in your mind. And so that desire, that need for it, will grow to a point where you can't help but do what you need to do to get there. At that point, you would have successfully cultivated burning desire. The other thing I'm going to talk about is the idea of work and the negative returns curve. And I need to change that title. I don't think it works for now. What I'm recording this before I finally post this up, but I've written it up, but before I publish it. But yeah, so we're talking about work. And this is kind of like my experience over the last year and over the past decade as well, just going through different phases in my career and what I do. Right, work is an interesting thing. Work is something that takes up most of our lives. For most of us, at least 60% of our time will be spent at work. You know, either we're working at office or we're working at home. We usually spend a good chunk of our time in some kind of economic productivity. And no matter, you know, whether you love it or you hate it or whatever, you're probably looking for ways to make that more efficient, to make work better. You know, ways to squeeze more out of the time. And this is the essence of productivity and, you know, productivity genre, subgenre of self-help or, you know, personal development and all that. We're always finding out ways to produce more. And, you know, if you work for someone, it might be chilled. You maybe don't need to stress too much about this because, you know, you get paid the fixed amount every month and it's all good. You might even want to do the opposite and like not do a lot of work and just get paid, you know, more power to you. Or you might want to work harder to get notice, to get a promotion, to do all of that. And if you work for yourself, then, you know, your income is probably tied to your efforts, to your labor. And then you instinctively understand that the more you work or the more you can work or the more you can produce, the more you are able to earn. So at this point, it gets like very tempting to instead try to maximize the amount of time we spend working or the amount of work we can do. You know, after all, the more you work, the more you can get. But the thing is that we are not machines, right? At least not yet. We are human meat sacks. We are biological entities, carbon-based entities. And the amount of energy and attention that we have is very finite. We still have to sleep. We still have to rest. We still have to do other things in life other than work, right? And if you've been like me and you've pushed and you've tried to see just how much you can work, you have probably very easily come across like your limits, and that limit is something that you have to respect. When I was younger, I would like work all the time. I remember like back in, vividly it's like 2011, 2012 for me, and just in my little tiny apartment, working all the time, all day, every day, every single day of the week from sunup to sundown, when I woke up to when I slept. Obviously time in for everything else, but I was just working all the time. And then I met burnout for the first time, and burnout is not fun. I would like burnout at least twice, three times every week. I mean, every year. So I could probably push about 2 months of being insane. And then by month three, month four, I would almost lose like 2 weeks to a month and not really be able to work a lot. And it's kind of like frustrating to be completely wiped out. But then at that point, you know, you've done it to yourself and all you got to do is rest. But over time, I've learned that, okay, it's much better to understand and optimize for your rhythm than to try to just brute force productivity by adding a lot of work. And as I've lived this over the past couple months, year or so, I've come to appreciate it even more and really be wary of like overworking. The kind of person I am, I like to do like a lot of stuff. I like to keep very busy. I like to be busy. And I do still work a lot, but I know how much time in a week I can work at a crazy pace for, and when I need to rest, and how much rest I need to be able to come back and do it again effectively. You know, and the problem also with overwork is that if you push too much, right, like the work you do at the start of your work week or your work session is not the same as the work you do at the end. By the end, you're tired, you're fatigued, you can't like think properly, you can't operate properly, like everything is just a mess. And half the time, the work, if you try to push, the work you're doing that time is probably not good, and sometimes might cause you more work down the line when you have to backtrack and fix things or you know, edit and read and scrap and all that stuff, especially with creative work. You have to like be aware that not every hour is equal and not every work session is equal. Some days you're able to focus and get things done, other days you're not. But when we're able to understand our rhythms, we know how to maximize and make sure that more often than not, we are set up right and ready to work. And when we are done, we are able to rest. And I learned, read a bit of this from Mark Mason's post. He talks about like writing his book, the really popular one, The Sort of Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And he wrote it, he tried to write it, you know, writing 8 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and really pushing. And the more he tried to brute force it, the harder it was. Like, he really wasn't churning out good work. And as soon as he realized that, you know what, like, he's only writing, you know, a couple of hours a day, and you know, the first 2 hours are great. Anything after that is probably mediocre. Anything beyond 6 hours plus is probably trash. And he actually started limiting himself to, you know, writing 2 hours a day. And within 2 months, he got it done after trying to work on this thing for like almost a year and not getting anywhere. And, you know, it got me thinking about, like, you know, like creative work as well, because I do design and all that stuff. And I know myself, right? Okay, so I prefer to work like balls to the wall, right? I like to sit down, do like 12 hours straight, just go, 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 go. I like to be fully immersed for as long as I can. And then when I'm tired, I disconnect and I go off. So like I can do like 3 to 4 days. Day one, I can do like 12 hours, no, you know, no stress, no pain. I'm in it. In fact, it's hard for me to stop on day one because I'm just so hype and so in. By day three, I'm probably, you know, I'm lower. I'm going down at like 8 hours, 6 hours of work. By day five, I am barely functional. I can't even think. Like, all I want to do is just lay down, drink, watch a show, chill, do nothing. Like, it's even painful how tired I can get by day five. And that's just me. And like learning the way my body works and my mind works has allowed me to kind of like redesign my life to fit that. And sure, I have control over my schedule as much as possible. So I can say to people, I'm not working on Friday, or you can't give me a call, or I can't have a meeting, or whatever it is. But in that way, I'm able to like respect that. Okay, listen, from Monday to Thursday, whenever that those 4 days are, I'm pushing, I'm going all the way in. And by the time the weekend rolls in, it is so important that I get that rest, because if I disrespect that and I work, or I take on an extra project, or I take on something that was urgent or whatever, and then I don't get my rest that weekend, I'm gonna feel it the next day. I'm gonna get up on Monday and not be able to work because I haven't rested. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm not refreshed. And then that just cascades, because now I can't like approach the week in the way I should, and it's just problematic. In fact, I might even lose the whole week just because I'm not able to get Monday right. So I've learned like so hard to be very, very respectful of my rhythm and optimize it. So when I'm resting, I try to really be resting. I try to be disconnected as much as possible, so that when I come back, I'm like proper rested and ready to go. You know, make sure I'm rested, I've slept, I haven't drank too much, you know, I've eaten, I've exercised, all those things, to make sure that when I get back to base, when I get back to bat, I am on point and I am primed and ready to do my best. And so it's very, very important to find your balance, whatever that is. Find what you need to make sure that you can actually work properly, and find out what you need to do to make sure that you get the rest you need, so that all in all, you can be productive over the long run. And sure, there are times you would have to go all the way in, right? Like, I remember back in 2015, coming off the back of like a failed business with my friends, I had to work for a couple of months just at an insane clip, like all day, every day, all the time. Projects and projects, you know, just to kind of like get back up and pay off debts and get back into a good place. And sometimes that's what you need. Like if times are rough and you got to do what you got to do, you got to do what you got to do. But over time, as you mellow out, as you build a good system, as you build buffers, and you know, you build a whole thing that is sustainable, then you want to make sure that the rhythm is there. You want to make sure that you're able to work and rest and go down and do the right amount of time. The right amount of work in the right amount of time. And other things to like also like make your work so efficient, because if you only have a limited amount of time to work, then you have to make sure that you make the most out of that time, right? And even my work schedule is even further truncated. Sure, okay, I only have what, four days in a week to actually really, really work. And even in those 3-4 days, you know, part of it is still reserved for me to work on the business, to work on myself, to work on things I need to work on that are important, but that don't necessarily make money today. You know, other parts are proportion to other clients, you know, other parts are proportion to other work, everything. So even then, like the time gets restricted so much more. I have to like make sure that whatever is on my plate is actually something proper, is I'm working on the right thing, I'm working on things that would actually move me forward. And that's also what has also truncated like the work week or the work time, because when you start to prioritize things that will move you forward, like I said, they're often not the things that will make money today. They're often not the things that are urgent. But once you prioritize and set aside the times for that, then you know you make sure that the important things are getting done. And then everything else, you just make sure that, listen, I've only got 2 hours to do this. I've got to do it right. I've got to do it quickly. And I've got to do it efficiently. So that forces you to really think about what you're doing. This is why being organized and, you know, becomes so, so important, so that you're always keeping track of what you need to do when, so you can batch tasks, so you can do things in such a way to make things even faster. This is why you want like a space that is functional and supports you, so you can just get in, plug in, and just be ready to go, so that your back isn't hurting, so that, you know, the lighting is fine, the mood is right, the right music is playing, you got a candle, whatever it is you need to make sure like you're living your best life while you're working. You can do that because you are investing in making this time the best it can be. And, you know, that is essentially what we want, right? We want a life by design. We want a life where everything is at the appropriate level at the appropriate time. And, you know, if we respect that, if we respect work and the fact that work, generally speaking, you know, it's not always going to increase. The output won't always increase with the input. So it's not like the more hours you put in, the more you'll get out, at least not at a stretch. It's more like, listen, know how much time you need to put in, know how much time you need to rest, know how to cycle through and be able to do this in the long run over time, because this is a marathon and not a sprint. And with that, we are done for today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got something, some food for thought. If you want more, well, you'll hear all the other stuff in the outro. But yeah, if you've got questions, if you know me personally, feel free to text. Feel free to send an email, go on my website. My email is on there. Hit me up. And with all that, till next week, be awesome, stay blessed, and see you then. Cheers. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you want more, feel free to check out other episodes on the podcast, or, you know, check out my website as well, otobasibasi.com. That's otobasibasi.com. There's hundreds of blog posts on there. I've got playlists on there, as well as, you know, video interviews and books that I wrote as well, you know. So just check out what I'm into, check out what I do, and there's probably something in there that will give you value as well. Once again, thank you for listening, and I'll check you on the next episode.